Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. And we pray that as we look at these passages, you would cast your illumination into our hearts and minds through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we're in the fourth week of a series of five looking at love languages, the way God expresses his love to us, the way we express it to each other and receive it from God, and the way that we reflect that love to our community. And we're basing our series a little bit on the Love Languages book by Gary Chapman. There's a review on the wall over there next to the door if you want to see what the book is about and how you can get hold of a copy. The bookstall does have a couple of copies, I think, at the moment. The Apostle Paul once said, "Serve one another humbly." We're looking at acts of service this morning. We've looked at time, we've looked at words of affirmation, we've looked at touch, and we're looking at service this morning. Next week we'll be looking at gifts, the receiving and giving of gifts. And Jesus spoke about this when he talked about the habit that the Roman soldiers had taken up, but if they could drop their bags and their coat on you and ask them to ask you to carry it with them for a mile, to take the load off them, and that you would have to carry it for a mile. And Jesus said, don't just carry it for a mile, carry it for 2 miles. There's this kind of statement being made in the way that you love someone if you do more than they ask in an act of service. So we find ourselves in our gospel reading with a religious leader named Simon, who had invited Jesus for dinner. As a rabbi, we'd expect Jesus to be the guest of honor, but this doesn't seem to have been the case this time. I think Simon was trying to catch Jesus out. So the levels of hospitality expected from Simon would be greeting Jesus with a kiss. A kiss on the cheek, probably, because that would have signified a meeting of equals. Or maybe if there was deeper respect there, the student greeting the rabbi, for example, he would have kissed Jesus' hand. To neglect that kiss is just like inviting somebody to your home and not even just letting them come in through the opened front door and just ignoring them the whole time they're in the house. But before a meal, Simon would also be expected to wash his guests' feet. Maybe he did wash some of his guests' feet. We don't get to know that in the story. If you wanted to honor your guest, you would wash their feet themselves. If not, you would ask your servant to do it. I don't know how many of you ask your servants to wash your guest's feet when they come in through the door. And then you might also anoint them with oil, anoint their head and their skin, because the desert was a very dry and dusty place. But, as we heard in our gospel reading, Simon doesn't offer any hospitality at all. In fact, he snubs Jesus. There is no kiss, there is no foot washing, there is no oil. He didn't just forget, this was a deliberate slap in the face for Jesus. And you could probably have cut the tension with a knife, everybody wondering what was going to happen. But there was a woman present, and she would have been able to see what was going on in the courtyard of Simon's opulent house, because this dinner probably would have taken place in a courtyard with the ability for those passing by to be able to just see what was going on. So she's an onlooker, she's not invited. And we know from the reading that she's a prostitute, well known in the village. But something was stirring in this woman. Maybe she'd heard Jesus' teaching earlier that day, and she'd followed him to this house, joining the crowd outside. Something about Jesus was beginning to capture her heart. And maybe she was beginning to wonder, how on earth did I get to this point? Nobody grows up hoping for that path in life. No young girl has that dream for her days. Once she'd been the apple of her parents' eyes, the object of a mother's hopes and dreams. But something had gone wrong. Maybe her husband had left her. Maybe this was the only way she felt she could get money to survive. But when she listens to Jesus, it pierces her defenses. And suddenly, she knows that she is loved by God. God still thinks of her. God cares deeply for her, as if she were his daughter. It's not too late, even for her. So she has followed Jesus to this courtyard, uninvited, certainly unwelcome by Simon, and she will feel that. Nonetheless, she gathers all her courage and walks into the courtyard where the dinner is shaping up, trembling with fear, but overwhelmed by love. And seeing how Jesus has been dishonored by Simon, she feels she has to do something. She's angry, indignant, and devoted. Now, of course, she can't be the one to offer Jesus a kiss of greeting, on the hand or on the cheek. How would the other guests interpret that? But maybe, just maybe, she could kiss Jesus' feet. An act of utter humility. Maybe she could do that. So you imagine how this plays out. Jesus is reclining at table. His feet would have been easy to reach because they would have been trailing out behind him. And so this woman approaches Jesus. Everybody is watching. Everybody knows what she is. And she kneels down to kiss his feet. And she looks at Jesus, probably expecting the worst. But there is no judgment. There is no ridicule. There is simply love. I wonder if she's ever seen that look in a man's eyes before. But here she sees it, in the eyes of the best man she has ever known. Jesus isn't looking at her as an object. He's looking at her like a daughter, like a sister. He's not loving her in some dark place, but out in the light of the courtyard. And she begins to cry. Softly at first, and then it comes. Tears are streaming from her face. Tears of grief for the way she has lived her life. Tears of thanks because Jesus isn't judging her. Tears of hope which Jesus is giving her. And Jesus' feet, left dry and dirty by the host, are now washed by this woman's tears. She feels she can't ask for a towel. She's on her own here, she thinks. So she lets her hair down to dry Jesus' feet. Normally a shameful act. No self-respecting woman wore her hair down in public. The crowd knew what she was. They know she's let her hair down frequently before for a steady stream of men. But now, she was doing it for the last time. And this time, she was getting it right as she wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. Now, she was wearing a translucent jar of ointment around her neck, full of perfume, vital for her profession. But now she pours it out. She won't require it anymore. She is pouring away her old life. Again, she cannot touch Jesus' face. She feels unclean. He is holy. So she pours this perfume all over his feet and begins to kiss them again. Now the host, Simon, is aghast. This is not how he imagined his dinner playing out. But he's thinking, well, just as I said, this Jesus is a fraud. If Jesus was a prophet, he'd know who this woman is. Wouldn't let her touch him. But Jesus knows what Simon is thinking. Jesus locks eyes with the woman. Her heart beats faster, filled with shyness and unspeakable love. Locked eyes on the woman, Jesus, however, speaks to Simon. Simon, do you see this woman? Well, he does. He sees a common prostitute interrupting his dinner, still unable to see what Jesus sees. And Jesus says to Simon, "You gave me no water, even to wash my own feet, that would have been rude enough. But she bathed my feet with tears and dried them with her hair. Simon, you didn't greet me with a kiss, not even a kiss of equals on the cheek, but she has not stopped kissing my feet. Simon, you didn't even anoint my head with ordinary olive oil, but she anointed my feet, pouring out her best perfume. Now all the time he's been looking at the woman and speaking to Simon. But now imagine this. For the first time, he speaks to her. She might have felt at that moment that it's just her and Jesus. She might have forgotten everybody else was there. And Jesus says to her, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has made you whole." And the torrent of tears would have come again. And finally, Jesus assumes that Simon the host is not about to offer a proper goodbye to this woman. So Jesus says to her, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And she does. What was the big stain defiling that courtyard that day? It wasn't the appearance of the prostitute. It's the stain of lips that will not kiss, knees that will not kneel, eyes that will not weep, hands that will not serve, a heart that will not break. If only Simon's tears would begin to flow and begin to mingle with hers. If only Simon's heart would soften, because a hard heart like Simon's needs much more grace than a broken one like hers. I wonder how you've arrived here this morning. Have you a broken heart like the woman? Wounded, in trouble, in need of healing? Or have you arrived here this morning with a hard heart like Simon's? With a bitterness somewhere in need of reconciliation? Jesus remains in the business of healing hearts today, and he will do that for you and for me. In the ancient world, there is no record of a rabbi washing the feet of his disciples. But on their last night with Jesus, Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, put a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet. Whose job is it? It's the master's job, says Jesus. Understand what I've done for you. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am, says Jesus. But now I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. So who are you going to serve this week? Who has acts of service as their love language and is waiting for you to serve them? I suspect that one of my children has acts of service quite high up on their love language receiving antennae. And that child, I know that if they ask me to put up a curtain, for example, I know that if I do it well and promptly and willingly, it will make them feel special. Lots of things will make them feel special. Words of affirmation, a touch on the shoulder, whatever it is. But actually, acts of service is quite important, I think, to one of my children. And I mentioned earlier on in this series that Debbie's primary love language is time. And that's true most of the time. But actually, there was a point in our lives when we had 3 children under 7, and our house was a little bit more chaotic than it is now. And I imagine then that for both of us, acts of service was higher up the equation for us than at other times. That probably looking after our children for each other was kind of more important than the time or the words that we said to each other, because we demonstrated love in that chaos, in that way maybe. Acts of service is a very important and powerful love language, and many of us may speak it, and many of us may need to receive that from others. But of course, it can be the source of conflict in relationships. Being a servant, as Jesus asks us to be, is very different from being a doormat. And so if any of us are close to relationships or involved in relationships where we feel we're simply being used or somebody else is being used, then some courageous conversations probably need to happen. And of course, we're here for you. If you want to work on your relationships, we can help you in that process. Jesus shows us that to be great is to serve, especially people in positions of power. Acts of service are about where we live, where we work. So much that we can do. One final story. When we were, Deb and I arrived at Windsor, we went to a church and there were no children. We took Simon with us, he was the only child we had at the time, and there were no other children there in the congregation. Your heart sinks, doesn't it? And you're sort of like, oh no. And it didn't really feel like the sort of church where children were welcome. But a little lady came up to us called Jean, probably in her 70s, 80s, I don't know. Difficult to gauge looking back on it. But she offered to take Simon. And she played with him for the service while Debbie and I were able to breathe God in the best way we could in that service. She was the greatest in that church as far as I was concerned that particular day and for most days, in fact. That's what greatness looks like in a church. So Jesus is calling us, if we feel like we're a consumer or a spectator in life, Jesus is calling us to acts of service. Let's pray. You might want to open your hands to represent an open heart, a heart that wants to be healed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the amazing gift of your love. May your love triumph in our lives. Thank you for the story of this woman at your feet. Beautiful in your eyes, precious in your heart. May we too come to your feet. May we admit our need. May we place our trust in you for our lives. Help us to see in you the one who served all the way to dragging that cross to Calvary to be crucified. The one that served us in that amazing act of love. And help us to realize that you are the one who can forgive us. You are the one who can heal us. You are the one who can restore us. Thank you, Father. Please help us to accept that. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would inspire us. Inspire us to receive your act of service to us, to reflect that service to those around us as we go out in the world, not as consumers or spectators, but as those that invest our lives in your kingdom. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.